Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of Football Theory. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Pleased to be joined, as always, by the coach, former high school football coach at Burnet, Capel, Brownwood, Belton, Rotan. Also was a college football player at Abilene Christian. Coached there multiple stints. Also was on the staff at the University of Texas for five seasons under multiple regimes there in Texas. Had numerous roles and responsibilities. I would do him a disservice because I can't name them all here. But coach, also you can find his work today over at ShipleyRanches.com. It's Coach Bob Shipley. What's going on, coach? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Rod. We're getting some rain out here in Abilene, Texas today.
Hey, coach, I know you're in a different location. Are we in the man cave now? Is this the man cave?
I'm in my office.
Okay. I'm about to say I see the memorabilia, some of the sports stuff in the background.
Yeah. I'm in my office today.
All right, coach is. I like the change of location though for coach.
Always.
For those who don't know, coach has been moving the last couple of weeks or so, trying to get settled. So we obviously are supporting coach. Coach got his move. He's got his house now. He's got one house now. At first, he had like multiple.
That's
houses.
Right.
He was going for it. Now he just got one. All right, coach. A lot of stuff we want to get to on the show. I want to talk about red zone offense for Texas. One of the biggest mysteries, you could argue, for Texas last season. I mean, last season was pretty much for Longhorns, other than winning the national title. It was a dream season for Texas in a lot of ways. Texas, you know, coming back to prominence, winning a conference championship, getting to the college football playoff. But I would say red zone is one of the things that may have held Texas back, if you argue, all the things that held Texas back from ultimately being at least someone who would play in the national title game. It was because of red zone offense. It's one of the reasons they lost the Oklahoma game, one of the reasons they lost, obviously, the Washington game as well. So I want to get your thoughts about it. I got some factoids, some stats that I want to share and get your thoughts on about Texas and red zone offense since Sark has been here at Texas, and see if we can either diagnose what's going on or at least offer some solutions. And honestly, this issue is so nuanced and it's so expansive. It might be a two-parter. I'm going to be talking about this next week too, because there's a lot to cover. If you're talking about red zone, what might have went wrong for Texas in the red zone and how do they fix those issues in the red zone? So we'll get to that. Before we do though, let's thank our wonderful sponsor of Football Theory. I want to thank Austin Realtor Laura Baker. Football Theory is brought to you by accomplished Austin Realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So please give her a shout today, 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. All right, let's get right to it, coach. I'll just throw this out there. So we all know Texas last season, 120th in the country in touchdown percentage in the red zone. It was a big issue offensively. And when you look at all the talent Texas had offensively, three receivers drafted into the NFL, two of them drafted in the first two rounds. You arguably had the fastest wide receiving core in all of college football last season. Look what Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell did at the combine. Even Jay Witt was a guy that ran in the 4.4s. You had the biggest offensive line in the conference, first running back drafted overall in the draft, had also one of the best tight ends in the country, one of the best tight ends in your school's history, and a veteran quarterback who was in his second year in the system. You have a quarterback who has an upside of being a first round pick. Potentially we'll see, but we all believe Quinn Ewers is going to be a first round pick. It just didn't seem like there should have been any liability on the offensive side of the ball to drag Texas to being 120th in the country in touchdown percentage in the red zone. But that's what was their touchdown percentage in the red zone. They were one of the worst in the country. So I went and looked at it, coach, and here's Sark in the last 3 years here at Texas, his red zone numbers. He was, as we know, in 2023, they were 120th in the country in touchdown percentage of red zone, 50.8%. They were 90th overall in red zone scoring. In 2022, they were 65th in the country in touchdown percentage in the red zone, 62%, 19th overall in red zone offense. red zone scoring. In 2021, Texas was actually in touchdown percentage in the red zone. They were third in the country in 2021. 74.5%, almost 75% touchdown percentage in the red zone. And they were fourth in red zone offense. Isn't that bizarre? And you know what? I saw those numbers and I was like, I got to tell you, I did not expect to see that. Sometimes the numbers, they tell a story that's very different than what you expect. I did not expect for Texas to have been slowly over the past 3 years getting worse in red zone offense as the team has gotten better.
Yes, yeah, so some of that could be impatience because we were scoring a lot and being effective and starting in 21 in the red zone. I think, you know, going back and looking at some film and some stuff, you get closer to the goal line, it seemed like our offensive line just really had a hard time getting movement. On the defensive line, on the goal line, I don't remember what the rankings were that I saw, but we were ranked pretty low in the conference on yards before first contact.
Yards before contact, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, that signals there could be a problem with the offensive line up front. You know, I mean, I think we did a pretty good job pass protection. We're just struggling to move the defensive line, defensive front, in those short yardage red zone situations. Another thought I had, Rod, is that, you know, as a play caller, you get in a groove, you know, you're kind of in a zone, you know, and you can block out all the other stuff going on in the game, and you just get on a roll and you get in a groove. And I think maybe Sark has felt more and more pressure from our bad red zone numbers. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, our team is doing so much better in basically every other statistical area, mainly including wins, you know, for him to continually struggle like we've been struggling in this past season. And it was a little bit better in the spring game. But sometimes I think you start pressing a little bit, you know, and trying to maybe be impatient. But anyway, those are a few thoughts that I have. I know that it's a concern. I know that publicly last year, Sark said that was the difference in the Oklahoma game. And I think it was pretty obvious to all of us that was a difference in the game. But anyway, it's a puzzle that he's continually trying to solve and get us back to those 2021 numbers that we had.
It is. It's yeah, exactly. We can throw out a lot of different theories as to what it may be. I will admit, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think you might have come closest to it, Coach. And maybe it is the offensive line, the push in situations. Because first of all, let's examine football theory here. You agree, Coach? Easier to defend any offense in the red zone. Most of it, not any. Most. Some offenses are not actually. They actually, and we'll get into this a little bit later on. Some offenses actually can, they can really lethalize, if you will, their offense in the red zone in that situation. A lot of offenses, I would say the majority of them, they're easier to defend in the red zone because it's less space I have to defend as a defender. And as a defensive coordinator, there's less field that you have to worry about defending overall. And you can, there are more things you can do because it makes it tougher when you constrict the space already. Offenses are trying to create space. Red zone constricts it naturally. And I think for that, it makes it a little bit easier. Me as a DB, hey, I don't have to worry about the deep ball. I ain't even worried about it. I got to defend, all right, these 20, 30 yards here, depending on my speed, depending on how long and rangy I am, where my help is. I can take a lot more chances as a defensive back in the red zone, undercutting routes that I really can't do in between the 20s. So I just think ultimately, do you agree, Coach? It's easier to defend most offenses in the red zone because the restriction of the space.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt it's easier, especially defending a passing team.
Exactly.
It's those running teams that are difficult to defend down there because, you know, if they're coming out, if they're winning the line of scrimmage battle, you know, at midfield, they're going to win it in the red zone too. I mean, to a certain extent, there's always some ifs, ands, or buts about that, but it's much, much easier for defenses. It puts more pressure on the offense, but still, it's a very critical part. I would like to go back and look at, you may have this statistic, of the top 10 teams maybe in the country in final standings. What were their percentages of
in touchdown percentage in the red zone?
Yeah.
I can get that for you right now.
Just to be able to see.
Okay. Hey, here it is. Here's number one. Number one is Oregon State. They were at 78.5% touchdown percentage in the red zone, extremely high. Kansas State was second, which is makes it remarkable what happened, Coach, when Texas had a goal line stand against K-State.
Yes.
Because K-State, as you point out, Coach, really good rushing teams. When they get in the red zone, it's money for them. I think the best red zone touchdown percentage team in the NFL was the 49ers. 49ers want to run the rock. They love being in the red zone. They're like, all right, yeah, we can run the right. We don't care about space. We 3 yards in the cloud of dust. We'll play you in a phone booth. We don't give a damn. We want to play bully ball. So that makes sense. And then it's Western Kentucky, South Alabama's in there. Penn State's in the top six. Memphis, Oregon, LSU, USC. I think that's more because of Lincoln Riley just being an offensive, you know, savant in a lot of ways. But, yeah, I mean, Michigan's toward the top. Michigan's in the top 20 there. I think maybe something – if I go look at how run-heavy some of those teams were, I bet you'd be right, Coach, that it's probably teams that can run the rock effectively. Texas ran the football effectively, but when you get to it, Coach, Texas actually – there were times where they struggled on the goal line running the football when teams knew they – basically kind of power situation where teams knew they were going to run the football and short yardage – and some of those fourth down situations where Texas struggled. And maybe we're talking about a situation where teams know you're going to run the football and you still being able to move the line of scrimmage. You still been able to move another human being against their will. Go back to the Oklahoma game, primary example, and start putting in what I call the, you know, that jumbo package, right? That big package where he puts in Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. You think Texas scores there every time, but they didn't in the Oklahoma game. And they end up scoring in there. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't it a pass to Tavondre Sweat? It was a reception. So. Yeah. And how did Murphy score? Did Murphy score on a reception or was it a rush? I got to go back and check.
I believe Murphy's was a
– Was it a rush?
Was a rush.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Even then, if the jumbo package, Sarker's still looking at ways that – you know, he could deceive the defense rather than, hey, we're going to play bully ball. We know y'all. Hey, we know y'all know what we're going to do, and y'all still can't stop it. That's the route he went versus Oklahoma, and it didn't work. And I don't know if it worked enough for Sark in the regular season where Texas could play bully ball, line up as 05 Texas would. And my man, Casey Stutter would tell me this story. He said, hey, man, we would line up sometimes. And I would tell him, we're going through that gap right there. I guarantee y'all can't stop us. And they still couldn't stop them. That's how good they were. I think Sark wants to be able to do that. But I don't know if right now you have the, you know, the capability on your line. This should be the year, though, Coach, because this is the year where your O-line should be top five, if not the best, should be in a conversation to be the best O-line in the country.
Yeah. It's very difficult to be really, really good run blocker and pass blocker as an offensive lineman. It's really hard to do that. Mm. You look at the old days when, you know, Georgia Tech would just run the ball all the time, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, if they're in a passing situation after pass, they had a hard time with pass protection.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true for passing teams, you know, especially when you're in short yardage, red zone situations where you don't have the deep threat. You know something's going to happen quick, and that's when Texas Tech would struggle, you know, sometimes. Because those guys were not used and are not used to coming off with a flat back, knocking people off the ball. So it's, you know, whatever you're kind of hanging your hat on, pass protection or a run block, of course, everybody wants to be good at both.
Yep.
But, you know, you look at these teams that, you know, Oregon State running team, Kansas State running team. I mean, you know, you just look Penn State running team, you know, Michigan running team, you know, I mean, it's that's when the rubber meets the road. But when you've got an offense where, you know, you're recruiting guys and your pass and your practice plans include a large percentage of retreating when the ball is snapped instead of coming off the ball and knocking somebody back.
Yep.
You're going to be good at what you work at the most. And a lot of kids in high school even are not taught to come off the ball. And that, I mean, you know, it's the same scenario in high school, you know, especially if you're, you know, you don't have near the time you have in college. So a lot of the kids that we're getting out of high school don't have the run technique that they used to have back in the day when everybody was running the veer or the power eye or whatever. You know, you were more worried about teaching those guys to pass block. But now they know how to retreat when the ball snapped. Let's do something going forward.
Yeah, and Coach, the epitome of that is if you look at touchdown percentage in the red zone at the NFL level. Now, we know Sark has a pro-style offense, West Coast pro-style offense. Honestly, it's kind of a combination of he would like it to be a combination of the Dunn Coryell offense and the Bill Walsh offense, but it's a West Coast offense, a pro-style offense. So he admits he steals a lot of his concepts from the NFL. Because those are his mentors. Of course, he's had, you know, Pete Carroll and Nick Saban. Even those guys, they have NFL ties and NFL background. So even a lot of their stuff is pro style, which is why, you know, the NFL scouts loved the Pete Carroll guys and they loved Nick Saban guys because they are being taught the NFL ways. The leader in touchdown percentage in the red zone at the NFL level in 2023, at 68%, the San Francisco 49ers. Who run the rock more than the 49ers? Nobody. Yeah. Nobody running the rock more than the 49ers. Second was the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions love to run the rock, man. That new coordinator, Ben Johnson, they run it. And they pull their linemen, got some really creative plays because they got athletic old linemen. Miami's running the rock a ton, too. With Mike McDaniel. And then it's Buffalo and Washington in that to finish off that top five in touchdown percentage in the red zone, you know. So it is, you know, at the NFL level, I think it's even more of what you talked about, that once we get in the red zone, all right, now it's time for us to play bully ball. If they couldn't stop our run in between the 20s, they're definitely not going to stop it here, because this is what we, as you pointed out, Coach, what we hang our hat on. Those are hang your hat teams. Like, no, we hang our hat on the run. This is what we do. We move human beings. All right, so we'll do it here. I wonder if Texas – you know, did they have a hang your hat identity in the run game? And I don't know if they did. And this may explain the regression, Coach. When 2021, you had a hang your hat identity in the run game. What was it?
Yeah.
Bijan and Rojo. Hang your hat, baby. Boom. Yeah. Yeah. Like you're talking about that now. We get in the red zone. Y'all know what's coming, and you can't stop it. Two NFL running backs, baby. So see if you can stop it. They coming at you. And it was, and for Sark, it was even easier. It was easier creatively. It's like, no. I just got to build a package around them two dudes. These two dudes, it can be Rojo by himself or Bijan by himself, or I can put them together. But you got to devote so much time and effort and energy to stopping those two guys. And they're NFL players. Even if it's not blocked well, Bijan going to get me four. He's going to get me 4 or 5 in the red zone. That's all I need. You know, Rojo going to get me 3, 4, even if it's not blocked well. If it's blocked well, I'm going to get 7. I'm going to get 7, 8 if it's blocked well. So I think, and that maybe that explains the regression, why Texas was top 5 in the country in touchdown percentage of the red zone in 2021. And then now they're 120th. They're still a better team overall. Better team overall. I think a better offense overall if you look at it in 2023, even without Bijan and Rojo. But their red zone effectiveness has dropped precipitously because Sark doesn't have the default answer, which is just give it to Bijan. Just put some Bijan on it. What are you doing? If it ain't working, put some Bijan on it, baby. It's going to make it better. And it always did. Put some Bijan. What are you talking about? 2nd and 6? Put some Bijan on it. 3rd and 11? Put some Bijan on it. It's going to work every time. You know what I mean? And now, you know, you got good players, but you ain't got that. And we all agree that was kind of, that guy was transcendent. And even the guys in the, you know, hand it off to Bijan is an easier answer than, all right, let's throw it to Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy is a great player. He's also transcendent, but there need to be more moving pieces that have to work and execute perfectly with timing and precision in order for us to get him the football in the red zone, where everything happens quickly, where space is restricted. But for Bijan, oh, man, hand the football off and let that man go to work and everybody just go out there and block. It's an easier solution, coach, in the red zone than it is to, all right, let's get it to X-Man. Let's get it to JT Sanders on an RPO. It's an easier solution. And I think, honestly, that's where Sarkis, I think, is trying to figure out what his identity is in the red zone still as a coach, because in 2021, like I said, easier. Put some Bijan on.
Yeah, no doubt. And as good as Jonathan Brooks was, he's not Bijan. He's not Rojo. I mean, you know, he's – and so the type of back that you have plays into that equation as well. You know, a guy that can, you know, that was a crazy thing about Roshan is that you, I don't know, maybe one time I ever saw him got tackled for a loss. I mean, the guy was, he was not a very big guy, but he had the power somehow, the hip strength and the timing to plant that foot right as he was getting tackled and explode into the defender. Mm-hmm. And it very, very rarely did one guy bring him down, and almost never did he ever lose yards. And so you go from that, and, you know, Bijan is what he is, to a Jonathan Brooks, a different type of back. You don't realize what a big difference it is in the type of backs that you have. So I think that's a really valid point.
Yeah. No, I like I said, it's just a theory we're throwing out there. Obviously, the show is football theory. Texas had 61 red zone attempts, like red zone plays. That was top 12 in the country. It was 12th in the country. They scored 49 times. That was 24th in the country. They had 31 touchdowns. That was 48th in the country. They were top five, though, in field goals in the red zone. And this is when Sark, he doesn't want to contribute to the legacy of Bert Arbon, but he is. And if he'd have his way, Bert Arbon wouldn't be setting records, which he might at University of Texas. But he isn't. But this is why I'll give Sark credit, coach. I'll give Sark credit. And this is why I give him credit for growth. And this is why I do believe there's a national championship coach in Sark. There's no doubt about it. Because he gets better every year because he has that man in the mirror moment and he grows from it. You know, I like me some Lincoln Riley too, but Lincoln Riley still ain't figured out there's three phases to the game of football. He wants to focus on offense. Your offense is awesome. Yeah, you develop quarterbacks better than anybody else, but you also have to worry about, there is a defense that you have to worry about too as a head coach. They need to figure that out. And he still hadn't figured out at two blue blood programs yet, right? But Sark, he learns from mistakes. And I think Sark during the season recognized, even though he's a brilliant offensive mind, that he hadn't figured out what was going on in the red zone. He's like, I can't figure it out. I don't know what's going on. I think he was troubleshooting it. He was throwing different solutions at the problem, you know, but he really never figured it out. The best red zone game Texas had was probably against Oklahoma State in the Big 12 title game. I think Mike Gundy was surprised. He was like, that's not the Texas team I saw on film. And it was like, yeah, because the Texas team you saw on film sucked in the red zone, and that team was awesome in the red zone. And I think ultimately for Sark, he stopped being stubborn in the red zone. The reason they're fifth in field goal and red zone field goals is because Sark at one point in the season said, you know what, I got to take these points. I hate giving up this touchdown and giving up this seven, but we got to win these games. I'm going to take these points. And you know Sark didn't want to do that. Sark's an offensive mind. You know they always want to go for it in the red zone, coach, because they always believe they got the play. They got the money play. And Sark realized at one point, damn, no matter how many money plays I think I got, how many great players I think I have, bully ball package, whatever, I'm not scoring in the red zone, touchdowns in the red zone like I need to. I better take these points before it as it loses us more games. And he did. Started taking the points. And Bert Arbon, by the way, was inconsistent early. It was very consistent late. So he started kind of feeding off of that confidence that Sark had in him. And he did the same thing with the deep ball. I watched Sark curtail the deep ball when he was chunking it deep. On first down and then getting Texas behind the chains when they couldn't convert those. And it was working to the detriment of the team, and he was inflicting self-harm and not psychological damage on the defense. And he started to be more judicious about his deep shots and more calculated. He's like, no, I'm not just going to throw them. I'm gonna throw them when it's the perfect time and the right time to throw them. I've seen these moments from Sark, and I think I've seen it in the red zone too. This season, though, they got to figure it out. They can't be 120th in the country in red zone, and they can't be kicking field goals instead of getting touchdowns, because that's going to cost them a game or two that they don't expect.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I know it's you're fighting momentum, ego, mm-hmm. all this stuff when you're in a situation where it's fourth down and yep. you're in the red zone. You know, you want to make a statement. You want to, you know, you want to put the points on the board. Points can be very hard to come by, and you got your ego and everything else. And then you're looking at those stats and go, yeah, but man, we're like in the bottom of the rankings in these stats. I need to get something out of this. Yep. You know, it's a constant battle, I'm sure, going on. But obviously the ultimate goal is, you know, to win the game. I'm not saying he's thinking to himself, oh, our stats are so bad. He ain't thinking about stats during the game, but there's still that still weighs on you as yep. you're thinking about the lack of success that you've had in the red zone. You're not worried about the rankings. You want to win, but at the same time, you know, it's something that does weigh on you, and those stats are a constant reminder of the lack of success that you've had in the red zone.
Yeah, no doubt. And I will say this to end it, and I'd say we're going to make this a multi episode event, because we're going to offer solutions. We don't just talk about the problems here on Football Theory. We offer solutions, and I think next show we're going to talk about more solutions. But I do think it's multi. I think the reason Sark couldn't solve it, and coaches are just problem solvers, right? You got lots of problems that come up throughout the season. You got to solve the problem as a coach, figure out a solution. I think because it's multifactorial. I think a lot of it's what you brought up, Coach, with the O-line. I think a lot of it may have been what I brought up, that, you know, Sark had a default answer in Bijan and Rojo no longer have that. I think some of it's Quinn not getting through progressions quick enough, and everything happens faster in the red zone. And maybe for him, you know, those reads, they happen a little too quick in the red zone, so he's not as accurate, not as effective. He will be better this year. You know, I think it's a multitude of different things. And I think that's why he couldn't solve it. Like I said, we'll devote another show and trying to offer solutions for it. But I really do believe this year, I think it's something Sark has focused on in the offseason. Like he has noticed the same trend we just brought up. We ain't rocket scientists here. Sark knows the same trend. And I guarantee you it is something that has kept him up nights. And I guarantee he's focused on how to improve it in the offseason. And he's probably looked at in the NFL for solutions. He's looked at the college game for solutions. Hell, he might have even looked at high school for solutions. And we will talk about some of those next show. That's okay. What a coach and I will get into next show. It's going to be fun. But Football Theory, of course, brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So please give her a shout today at 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. Like I said, next show, I got some stats here on Texas' most effective plays and concepts in the red zone. I think I have an idea of who he's stealing concepts for in the red zone. I'll just give you a hint here, Coach. We know he's a huge Kyle Shanahan fan. I just told you that the best red zone offense in the NFL is Kyle Shanahan's offense. And if you don't think Sark is studying that offense in the offense in the offseason, then you're crazy. Guarantee you. He's even got the guys texting the number. I'm guaranteed he texted them. They're probably already having communications about it. We'll discuss a little bit of that on the next show. But until then, Coach, thank you so much for the time and the wisdom. I appreciate it as always.
Yep. My pleasure, man. Can't wait to hear. I've got some ideas a little bit outside the box. I can't wait to hear next week what your thoughts are on these answers.
Hey, I love that Coach got some outside the box stuff. Like I said, I learn something every day that Coach and I work together. So I appreciate the wisdom. But until next time, for Coach Shipley, for the On Texas Football family, for Laura Baker, for myself, Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, hook 'em.